Blog Talk Radio.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to praise his name, praising the name of the Most High, to show forth his loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Truly we are blessed and highly favored of God, and you know that we are because we're here in the land of the living. That provides emphasis and evidence that God is with us. And if God be with us, and we know that he is, he's more than the world against us. But we know that in the world we will experience the very tumultuous events that are taking place in the very manifold of society. But I'm always reminded of the very words that our Messiah spoke. He said, "Behold, I am the victory that overcometh the world and even your faith." And that is a substantial statement to give reconciliation to give consideration to, because sometimes, just sometimes, we get caught up in the very midst of what's going on, the occurrences, the disharmonies, the violence, the inapathies, the struggles, the wickedness, the controversies, the adversities of society. And I hear so many people say this, and they profess to be Christians, and reality sets in, and sometimes God has to tap us on the shoulder. And they actually say, "None of that stuff fazes me. I don't care what they do in the world." Yes, you do, because what's going on in the world is a standardized system of measurement that we need to be looking at the word according to what Jesus spake in Matthew 24. He said, "Perilous times will come, and that all of the catastrophic occurrences that are taking place now have already been foretold to us." So this is not anything new. This is something that's merely being confirmed to us. And we ought to take these things under consideration, that at any time we should let them slip. And Jesus told us to observe the signs of the times. We're so busy. We're so busy. We're so obligated, overly obligated. We're so committed to anything and everything but what is truth, what is evidence of truth. And this is the reason why many of us are falling by the wayside. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you're a new convert, moderate convert, 20 years and up, or you're a senior convert, 40 years and up. You need to strap up your bootstrings. Are you listening to me? You need to make sure that that breastplate of righteousness is affixed to your persons. You need to make sure that that helmet of salvation, protecting and insulating your mind, is on your head. You better make sure you got that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and that shield of faith in hand, ready to defend. And you better make sure you got those feet shod or dressed or adorned with the gospel of peace. Because in this day and time, and realistically speaking, you're going to come across people in situations where they're going to challenge the peace that you have. See, sometimes your peace breaks people to pieces. Do you understand the statement? Sometimes your peace, the serenity you have within, remember Jesus said he is the peace that passeth all understanding, that he rules our minds and our hearts. Sometimes your serenity breaks people who are wicked, who have hidden agendas, who are serving Satan, who don't want to put their faith in God, brings them to pieces. They feel inadequate around you. They feel challenged by your presence. They feel overwhelmed when you come into complacency or compartmentalism. And they're going to try to try you. And so you've got to make sure that you have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that he rules your mind and your heart through Christ Jesus. And I know some of you are saying, "Well, I make sure I limit my associations. Honey, it's right in your families. Households are divided against households. We know nations against nations. That's been going on. Controversial armaments, standoffs, skirmishes between countries. We know that, but it's in families and relationships. Because you know why? Satan, the enemy of mankind, the adverse one, knows his time groweth short with every passing day. He knows that his fate is sealed. And what he's trying to do, and you listen to me, stop doing what you're doing. He's trying to take as many people off that pilgrim's journey that he can and to get them to turn back. And to look at the world and say, I feel comfort in the world. Don't be as Lot's wife. And you know what happened to Lot's wife? She turned back as God was destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And she turned into a pillar of salt. She wasted away. And this is what's happening. So many people are falling by the wayside. They're getting into these areas of worship, of vain religiosity that's taken them away from the pathway of truth and the pathway of knowledge of God, of respecting the very presence of God, of worshiping him. And they're getting into cosmopolitan and cosmetic practices. They're running to these mega congregations because they can do as they please and get hidden in the crowd. I don't care if you don't like what I'm saying. I'm going to speak it because God will not chastise me because I didn't speak truth. And they are getting embedded into these congregational settings that are telling them, it's okay, do what you want to do. Just give the man money. You give him money, you'll be made righteous. You turn around and you buy his wife extravagant gifts. Give reconciliation to her. Turn away from the poor and the needy, in which God commanded us to take care of the needy. We're commanded. It's no question about it, no. But they are getting people embedded into that new world order mindset. Bow down to the presence of man. Man has bought in and has received the mark of the beast, that number that entitles him to get all the assistance that he needs. Uh-oh, telling the truth. This is divine revelation. You better listen to it. They may try to edit what I'm saying, but I'm still going to speak it. It doesn't matter because God is with me. They bought into the beast, and they want you to bow down to these prolific figures. And these become your iconic standards of measurement, which you interpret the presence of God through. These people are not representing the kingdom of God. They're representing the kingdom of themselves, putting names on ministries to garner people in so that they can send their money, their donations. And then the people who are in necessity of assistance, of help, are going depleted. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to put my money where it makes the difference, in the lives of those who need. Because in doing so, I am glorifying God. I am validating my salvation. I am bearing fruits of the Spirit. And remember, Jesus said, every tree that does not bear fruit, that tree is going to be pruned. Have you ever seen a tree or a plant get pruned? They cut off all those dead branches. Sometimes they take and transplant that particular vegetation. They transplant because the ground is no good. And when the ground is no good, nothing's going to yield. You can plant all you want to. If you plant on fallow ground, you get nothing. And that's what's happening. You're planting on fallow ground. God is speaking to his people this morning, those who truly bear his mark, his beloved, his chosen. He's saying, come up from amongst them and be you separate. Separate yourselves from them. Return back to me. Repent. Admit that you fell victim to the games that these people play. Behold, God says, they're calling, but I didn't send them. They're speaking, but I did not tell them. They summon you, but I did not call them. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch together. So please, take heed. Turn away from cosmopolitan practices. Turn away from cosmetic worship. God is not being glorified in that. The glorification of God provides evidence, miracles of healing, of deliverance, of financial breakthrough, of men being made whole, women being made whole, children being made whole, of families coming together in the spirit of healing. The very elementation of the environment shifting. The power paradigm begins to shift. And you can feel the love of God flowing like an unending river. The waters of righteousness flow and cleanse out every impurity that is in that circumference. This is the evidence that this is God working. And please, people, please, beloved pilgrims, beloved children of Almighty God, those who have even strayed away and said they gave up, they just couldn't do it anymore, don't charge God for the ignorance of man. Don't do it. This is what the enemy ascribes to want for all of they who once followed the truth to do. It's not God's fault. He told us all this was coming. We just didn't know the manner in which it was going to come, nor the season. Seasons predicate various types of occurrences or events and certain characteristics that ascribe to events and dispensations. It's time to come back to the fold and to do the mightiest work that we possibly can do, because there are so many miracles. There are so many miracles. There are so many divine breakthroughs that God wants to do, but we got to move forward and come back to the fold so he can use us as an instrument of his honor, of his power, and of his glory. And this such a time as this, this is what God wants to do. And let him do it. Kind and gracious Father, we thank you today for this edition of the Pilgrim's Journey. Lord, we know that in this journey, oftentimes, there are rough roads. There are sometimes dry areas. There's sometimes it seems as though that road, it veers into a path that we have no knowledge of how we need to travel. But Father God, through your divine wisdom, through your anointing, through your presence, lead us and guide us into all manner of truth. Bless us. Make us whole. Give us that breakthrough that we've been praying for, God. So many are in need of a financial miracle at this hour, the seeming hour that needs to take manifesto. Father God, send it with dunamis. Send it with fire. Send it with the anointing that those petitions that separate us from the manifestation be broken down in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord of lords and King of kings. So many are in need this afternoon, this morning, this evening, reflective of whatever time zone they reside, and physical healing. Well, we know that, Jesus, you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities, and that the chastisement of our peace was upon your shoulders, by whose stripes we are healed. Let the healing take place, Jehovah Rapha. Father God, for those who need and stand in need, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And Father God, to those who reclaim and revitalize in their salvation and reconnect their relationship with you, let them dwell under the protection of Jehovah Tisser, Jehovah Tiskadu, Jehovah Nissi, our banner, the banner. But Lord, even as the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt, the land of bondage, and you told them to cover their doorposts with the blood of the Lamb. And when the death angel, the angel of destruction, saw it, he said, I pass over you and cover us with the blood of Jesus, that every evil plan, plot, and arsenal of the enemy, all incidents, hurt, harm, and danger will pass over us and won't touch us, nor our loved ones, nor there shall be no weapon formed against us that will prosper, that every high place be broken down in the name of Jesus, every spirit of witchcraft, of sorcery, of family secrets and curses and things of that measure, that in the name of Jehovah, 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 Yahweh, be destroyed through the name of Jesus, a name above every name in which every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Revive us, refresh us, renew us, regenerate us into the path that is precious, that is true, that is straight, that is prosperous. In the name of Jesus, we speak these divine blessings. And Father God, oh Father God, our children, Father God, our children, wrap your arms of protectance around them, Lord. Shield them from the evils of society, of sick and demented men and women. Father God, let none rob them of their inheritance. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for every family that has tragically lost a child. Father God, Father God, Father God, cover them with your love. Overwhelm them with your presence and receive these precious babies into your eternal care, that one day they will rise again, Father God. But for now, let them be safe in your arms. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, anoint our eyes with salt that we may see. For even our Lord Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Just not only our natural eyes, but our spiritual eyes, that these young women that are held in captivity, that they be released and allowed to come back to the fold and to cleanse themselves of their unrighteousness, Lord, that they be protected. For we know that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shelter of the Almighty. We will say of the Lord, he is our refuge and our fortress and our God, in him will we trust. Surely he shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shall we trust, and his truth shall be our shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth the noonday. 1,000 shall fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. For only with thine eyes shall thou see and behold the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord my God, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will answer him and deliver him. I will set him on high, because he have known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life shall I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thank you, Father God, for your promises. And I bless the Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord. Open up the ears of our understanding as we go into thy word, Lord. For we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Amen. It is done. Amen and amen. Let us go to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. As we were actually there on Wednesday, many of you joined me, and thank you for joining me, because that was the midweek study. And many of you probably asked, well, why didn't you come on before then? tied up with various obligations, first natural, then spiritual. Because the spiritual aspects of our existence pave the way for us to complete the natural progressions that are needful and necessary in our lives. And let me tell you something. We were so into the word, and we actually ran out of time. But we're going to pick up. Don't get sad. Get glad. And we're going to pick up to where we were. Okay, we were actually talking about this wonderful man by the name of Abram. That's right, a man in which he was after God's own heart. This man was a good man. Was he perfect? No. A good man is not a perfect man. A good man is an ideal man. He has an ideology or a concept of what is good, but sometimes he doesn't fulfill that obligation because, don't forget, the Spirit of God does not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. So we understand that. And here we were in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. I told you we're going all the way from Genesis to Revelation. It's going to take us a while, but we're going to go through each scripture by scripture that you may get a thorough level of understanding. Here we go. We left off the 16th verse. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and his asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. Who is this person that is being discussed? This is Abram. Remember, God told Abram that he had an assignment for him. Read earlier in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis as we did on Wednesday. And he told Abram he had to go forward into the land of Canaan. And here he had to take with him Sarai. Sarai was his wife. So he obeyed God, and he went there. And look, afterwards, he ended up in what? The land of Egypt under the Pharaoh. Well, his fear was, looking at how beautiful Sarai was, that Pharaoh would desire her and that he was fearful that if he did not tell them that she was his sister, they would attempt to take his life. So this proves that he's a good man, but he's not a perfect man. Did God know that Abram was going to do this? Nothing is secret from God. He knew it. But nevertheless, this man's heart was turned to God. And when you have a loving and established relationship with God, he looks beyond your faults and sees your needs. Because don't forget, he sees us through the eyes of his beloved son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior of all. And this is what he did. And some of you are saying, well, salvation was not then. No, but the grace of God abided then. The Holy Spirit was not inside of man in his heart. But, oh, the Holy Spirit breathed upon him. And the Holy Spirit inspired men. How do you think the prophets received their translations of prophecy? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has always been. The Holy Spirit is the eternal Spirit. It's the very imprint, the very genetics of God's existence. Did you know that? It's true. Now, so here, Abram is fearful. He knows what's going to happen. But see, in taking those gifts, Pharaoh believed him. And all of a sudden, things start going wrong in Pharaoh's house. I guess the crops were dying. The relationship in his household with his servants and his maid servants, his man servants, with his advisors, it got turned upside down. See, God does not want anyone touching his anointed. If you talk about it, if you try to ascribe in secret to harm us, you know God hears that. God, you know something. You know how you are and how I know how I am when it comes to my children. You say what you want to say. Don't talk about my children. I can say what I want to say about my children. God can say what he wants to say about us where he is. He can chastise us. He knows how hard to strike us. He's not going to kill us. He's not going to make us sick and crawling. But he's going to spank us enough to know that he's large and in charge. But you don't have the right to do that to God's children. Don't do it. Because you know what happened? Pharaoh's household got turned upside down. And the 17th verse says, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Uh-oh. So here's a man who does not profess to know and have a mono-imano or singletary relationship with God. He knows something is wrong. See, evildoers know when they've done wrong, especially God's children. God plagues their minds. He plagues their minds. He plagues their very existence till they get right with him, and then they'll treat us right. See, if a man is truly believing in God, he's going to treat God's people right. And if not, God will deal with him sorely, and you don't want none of that. Here it is, 18th verse. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? He's saying, Abraham, what have you done to cause this calamity in my house? All these things going wrong. This wasn't happening before until I took this woman in. Something you didn't tell me, Abram. Why dost thou not tell me she was thy wife? You know, God will reveal truth to even unbelievers, even to people that say that they are atheists and agnostics and satanists. God will reveal to them whether they abide by it or believe it or not. That's to their advantage or disadvantage. You remember Nebuchadnezzar, how he came at the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, about how he demanded that everybody in the kingdom bow down and worship him, but they wouldn't do it. So what did he do? He got angry. And he told him, he said, bring those men here. You heat that furnace up seven times what it is. I'm going to show them something. Not only did God take the heat out the fire, God put the extinguisher and caused the fire to burn out. Because guess what? Instead of seeing just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, he saw the vision of Jesus Christ in the fire as well. So you know, you see Jesus on the scene, you know it's a wrap. It's finished. He already got it done. So he knew that. So, and here this man was an unbeliever. He believed in. God not chasing him. Because guess what? He started crawling like a snake. Don't mess with none of God's little children. He'll get you about his children. He don't care. He will get you. You can close the door, seal yourself in a one-window room or residency. God will get you about his children. Because his face is not hidden from anything and anyone, because he's a spirit. Spirits have no limitations. They don't need to open doors. They don't need to close windows because they're non-material. And they can travel through these particular types of structures. Okay, so what is he saying? 19th chapter. Abram getting scared now. He says, why saidest she is my sister? Why saidest thou she is my sister? So Pharaoh's asking, why did you tell me she was your sister? You know, Abram's a little shaken now because he's saying, how do you know this? So I might have taken her to me to wife. He said, I might have married her. Why would you tell me that? Now, therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. He said, now you cause all this time with me, I want you gone. This is what God will turn around and make your enemies say, people that's withholding things from you, mistreating you, going behind your back. They'll say, I don't want to mess with you no more because things have been happening to me, go about your way. Let me tell you something. Let me give you a personal testimony of something that happened to me decades ago. I mean decades over... what? Four decades and about four or five years. I came across this woman before I became a truly born-again Christian. It was back in the year of, 78. And I came across this woman. Seeking the truth, I hadn't fully came to the fullness of repentance till later on that year. And she had a candle shop, and I was drawn to that candle shop for some reason. It was a little white building on the east side of Detroit. That's right. It was on Charlevoix, and I believe the street was Lakeview. And I was just drawn to that place. Let me tell you something. When I went in, this woman knew some things about me. She said, you're gifted. I know that. You have a lot of gifts within you. Something is going on with you. And it did. I had a bad situation that occurred with me earlier on that year, and I was not stabilized from that occurrence. And I had dealt in some behavior, some substance that was not beneficial to me. And I tell you, because I wasn't fully committed to God then. So, you know, you experiment with things. And I had a neuropathic reaction to the substance that actually, that I indulged in. But I got over it, thank God, for the blood of Jesus. And I was now seeking to get myself back together, and I felt that this woman was the person that I could consult. So this woman put some oil on me. It was some blue oil. I don't know what the essence of that oil was. And then she told me to tell my mother when I got home. She said, look under the doormat of your home. Now, I'm speaking direct words to you. This is testimony. This is nothing written or rehearsed. She said, and there's the white powder up under that mat. Tell her to get rid of that powder and come see me. So I left there, and I went home. And when I got home, I told my mother what she had said. And so she said, really? And we looked up under the mat, and surely there was white powder up under that mat. Well, let me tell you something. That night, I did not sleep. I walked the floors. When I tell you all night long, I walked the floors. I began to act strangely. I could not rest. My mind was not at rest. It's just like something was just tormenting me. And it went back to the fact that I went to that lady's candle store. Well, let me tell you something. I was progressing forward on because I wanted to get ready so I could get out of high school and get some other things established during that time. It tells you how long ago this was. So nevertheless, a friend of mine, I never will forget her, Miss Purdue. And I love her to the year of 2023 from straightforward on to 2022-05. The Lord established us to live that long. Let me tell you something, just making a joke about the chronological aspects of what I'm saying. She invited me to a congregation, and at that time, this is what I needed, to a church called Christ Temple Church of the Apostolic Faith. I didn't know anything about denominations then because, again, I understand now denominations are not reflective of salvation. They're not. God is a spirit. He's not a building. But I didn't know that then. But at that time, I went in and I started to fellowship with her off and on. So when I was reborn, that's right, I received the new birth of spiritual confirmation. I became a new person. My mindset changed. My whole projection on life changed. My whole existence just totally transformed. And people could see the transformation in me. I always had a very young-looking face, and they said I looked even younger. I just looked regenerated, and I did. And the Holy Spirit ministered through me, and the power of the gift of tongues manifested through me. So I'm telling you, tongues is a gift, and the Holy Spirit brings forth your gifts, okay? So listen to me. Getting into the Word and, you know, going to Word, going to school and doing all these things, let me tell you something. As I prayed, I had the gumption. Listen to me. As I was walking in the neighborhood, I lived in southeast Detroit, probably about 5.5 blocks away from where that candle store was. I walked where that candle store was. You can believe it. If you don't want to believe it, I don't care. I'm going to tell you something. Someone had burnt that candle store down. It was burnt down. See, people who are dealing into spiritism, they have no connection to God the Almighty. They don't have salvation. They're dealing in darkness, dark forces. And what their job is to do is to translate those familiar spirits to other people, tell you just enough about yourself to get you hooked, and then they suck your energy and destroy you. I could have been destroyed through what this woman did. And thank God my mother never went to this lady. That candle store was burnt down. Question, I want to ask you a question. If you know this, you can say it, and I won't hear it, but I just want to get your insight on this. What brick edifice? I'm telling you, real brick, not that face brick, no. Do you know could burn down? That's God's judgment. Quit playing. That place was burnt down. Never seen her again. There was a lady, here's another testimony. Somebody needs to hear this. It's not even about me. Somebody needs to hear this. There was a woman who got angry with me because a friend of mine called on me because she said she was in this lady's apartment, and it was on a street called Gray. This is personal testimony. And she was crying. She said she wanted to leave and go home. So here I am. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I'm full, walking in the abundance and the authority of the word. And I'm saying, okay, I told my mother I'm going around here to get my friend, and I'm going to make sure she gets home. I'm going to stand with her until her transportation comes, and then I'll be back home. She said, okay, be careful. Where are you going? I told her where I was going. So I went to that particular apartment building. I knew the lady. Her name was Mrs. Graber. I'm not going to even call the first name. This lady never liked me. For some reason, after I received the new birth, this woman, she already didn't like me. She really couldn't stand me. And she was actually exhorting into the black arts of practicing witchcraft. This is what they were doing in there. They were trying to get her to put her hand in fire. So I came to get her, and she said, what are you doing here? I said, you know something, I came to get my friend. And she saw me. She was so happy. She grabbed me and hugged me. I said, she has to go home. She looked at me. She couldn't stand me. And it was rumored to me, I didn't hear her say it, that she was going to put something on me to hurt me. But let me tell you something. God said, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. Let me tell you, it was less than 5 months. I'm not playing. Someone burnt that apartment building down. Be careful about how you treat God's children. Don't start looking at people saying, well, look where this person lives. Look how they act. Look at their credentials. You don't know my credentials, number one. My authorization and my authenticity comes from a much higher source. I've had over 500 trainings in the area of education, of community engagement. I have presented at over 12,000 public venues from the last 20 years. I've done it. Been there, done that. That don't mean nothing. All I can tell you is that with all the educational training, experience, and professional development I have, nothing can conquer the enemy's presence but the name of Jesus. Education can't do it. Knowledge is what you gain from what you've been educated with. That couldn't do it. It's only at the name of Jesus. These things will bow and decimate and actually eradicate at his name and in his presence. So the Pharaoh soon found that out. He got himself in trouble trying to get with this woman. Okay, let's go on. 13th chapter, book of Genesis, underline the key elements that you need to go back and reflect on later, but stay with me. Verse 1. Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had. And he told him, oh, keep everything. Just go. Because the wealth of the unjust is laid up for the just. Amen. And his wife and all that he had, he was taken. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Okay? That's for us. I can't teach others and instruct others and guide others, and I'm out here asking them to provide for me. No. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, and he has to. When you lean totally and depend on him, he will be your provider from A through Z. Third verse, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been in the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents. See, they didn't have to ask nobody for that. See, God wants us, but we're solely self-sufficient. This is a testimony. Because when men are casted down, they look at us and say, you know what, there's lifting up. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. This is what God wants to do. He wants to fatten our pockets so that people would look at us and say, wow. And you know something? We look at our own selves and say, wow, look at God. not look at us. And God got us to that point where we're now dependent only on him, and he's the one that's doing it now. He's done it. Let's speak it. He said his word will not return unto him void, but accomplish the purpose in which it is set out for. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. That means there was imbalance in between them. Because sometimes, you know, there's either competition. There couldn't have been any jealousy because Abraham had the most and actually Lot had a lot. So there couldn't have been that. Perhaps they had too much. But see, sometimes when your life changes, when your economic level changes, and this is true. God has to reveal this to me because sometimes I don't know things and I have to pray and ask. That's right. And I'm not too grown to ask. I constantly ask. And what happened was that they had to come together. He said between the herdsmen and even with the brethren. They knew they were on God's side and doing God's work, his will and his way, but there was some controversy. Ninth verse. Is not the whole land before thee separate thyself? I pray thee from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. He's saying, we're going to dwell together, but we're going to do this and do this right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. And you know, Jordan to this day does still exist. And there will be well watered everywhere before the Lord. That's right. Destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. 11th verse. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. So here we are. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. So that's what they did. They were still friends, but they needed more space. And, you know, sometimes even in relationships, we can be friends with a person, but sometimes God wants to elevate us. So he allows separation to come. It's not that that person has really done anything to you. It's not that you don't like that person. It's just that God says seasons bring about reasons. Reasons bring about a chain of events. And so for them to reach their goal and fulfill their mission, they needed to separate. And this is what happened. They never lost friendship. But guess what? Here it is, Lot. 13th verse. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That means they were constantly rebellious, doing what they wanted to do, acting in a manner that was not wholesome in the eyes of God. And the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was gone, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. 15th verse, underline this. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give in and to thy seed forevermore. So this is how he became the very essence of the what? Of the faith. He became the father of the faithful, Abram. That's right. But he's not going to be translated into that area because his season is coming of exaltation, but it's not yet. And speaking of not yet, this time here on the pilgrim's journey has really went very quickly. Don't get sad. Get glad because we're coming back this week. I will make sure I will do a public posting of when we're coming back this week to finish out this 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. Wow, we have really moved forward. And what a glorious and victorious day it is. Can you believe it, guys? Can you believe it? It is literally the ninth of what month? You guys are guessing. It is July 2023, this edition of the Pilgrim's Journey. And we're going to continue on this path of excellence that God has so well paved and provided for us. Listen. Have a glorious and victorious day, a miracle and phenomenally extenuating week, and we will see you back again. And in all thanks, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. Let those miracle testimonies keep coming through, and pray ye one for another, that finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. You've got your host, the Esquire Abby Phelps, known as the Motor City Mile Ronnie, saying we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We'll see you again real soon.